My beloved people, there is nothing in today's bulletin that needs to be brought to your attention as far as an announcement goes. And so from this gospel for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, I read the last lines. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves with the mammon of wickedness, so that when you fail, they may receive you into the everlasting dwellings. These words, I believe, can be looked upon as a threat, a very serious threat coming from Almighty God. I read to you also a point that has been mentioned in our bulletins from time to time, and that we like to keep in front of us as monks and nuns of our, just what the situation really is. And it reads, serious men with serious intention, giving serious worship to a serious God. Now, what I would like to point out first before we begin is to ask a question. What is our understanding of the word serious? I think perhaps we might take it or interpret it to mean that serious means the absence of frolic. From one sense of the word, that's true. Or from one sense of the definition, that's true. It is the absence of fun and frolic. But what does the word serious mean? And what is our application of the word serious when we turn our attention to the everlasting God? Some might even think that to mean that serious means the absence of laughter. Not so. Because laughter is undoubtedly part of the way of Almighty God. But what does serious mean? We speak of commitment. What does commitment mean? Our commitment must be deliberate. It must be unchanging. It must be unconfused. It must be serious. Today we are faced with a confusion that knows no parallel in the annals of mankind. This is brought to our attention constantly. Never before has our memory, has our mind, has our spirit, has our soul been so tortured as they are today. It doesn't make any difference which direction you turn. It is the same. And everything seems to be pointing to destruction. Destruction of mind, destruction of spirit, destruction of soul. We have no place to look where we can find any real consolation. Perhaps we're looking in the wrong places. Are we going to attack this confusion as too many of us today attack it or try to attack it by debate, by conversion of our enemy, about whatever? How far have we traveled in converting the opposition by way of argument, or of converting the opposition by way of debate? How far have we traveled with success? We get calls all the time. Complaining to us, my husband this, my husband that, my wife this, my wife that, my sons and daughters this, my sons and daughters that. I'm reminded of a little old Italian saying, as we raise our children today, little children, little problems. Big children, big problems. The place to put the cauterizing iron is on me, myself, the I. We don't like that, because when we are contradicted, or when we are faced with contradiction, we have a problem. We have a right to be happy. We were made to be happy. That is an inalienable right that we were given by our God who created us. So we have to ask the question, then, why aren't we happy? What is the source of our unhappiness? What is the source of our tension? What is the source of our unrest? Why are we this way? And so we look. We look in this direction. We look in that direction. We look at our wives. We look at our husbands. We look at our children. We look at our parents. We look at each other in the monastery, in the convents. But somehow, that does not do anything for our unhappiness. And confusion becomes worse confounded. Why? When I look at my husband or wife or daughter or whoever, do I find the answer there? Apparently not. Because I do not have serenity. I do not have peace of soul. I do not have peace of mind. I do not have security. Then where on earth, where on this earth must I look to find that which is going to give me some measure of happiness? Where must I look? Have we ever thought of looking in ourselves? It's entirely possible, and it's most likely, that the answer that we're looking for is in ourselves. But oh mercy, mountains can be moved with greater ease than for one to turn his gaze into himself or onto himself. That requires strength that is unmentionably strong. Today's bulletin, we write a lot about humility, don't we? We write a lot about pride, don't we? We discuss humility at length and pride at length, etc., etc., and etc. Today's bulletin is full of bullets. Real big bullets. And the gun has to be trained upon ourselves. Now you may take this bulletin, take it home, and just read it through. Race it through. And say, oh my, what a wonderful bulletin this is today. It really is a good bulletin, isn't it? And then you proceed to put it away. And if anybody asks at a later hour, did you read the bulletin this morning? What did it say? Oh, it was marvelous. But what did it say? It was just very nice. It really struck home. Good bulletin. What did it say? My beloved people, a moment ago I said a serious man with serious intention, giving serious worship to a serious God. This is what I'm asking you to do. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt aplenty. But before you read the bulletin, before you pick it up to simply race through it as a piece of literature, I want us to get on our knees and ask Almighty God for the grace to see what this bulletin has to say. I've told you before, and I don't mind making this as an honest confession, anything that comes into the bulletin is not there for the first time, has not been spoken or pronounced for the first time. It has been brought together by a lifetime of study, by a lifetime of reading, by a lifetime of construction, nothing that is in the bulletin has been generated or engineered or discovered by me or anybody here. Nothing in the bulletin is original. Get on your knees. Let us get on our knees. Because I myself am not standing at the pinnacle of the temple looking down on all the sinners. Well, I look about and say, I thank you, Lord, that you have made me better than the rest of men. Not so. And then after you've said your prayer, sit and take today's bulletin one painful point after another. Meditate on that individual point and pray for honesty. Let us pray for honesty. Let us pray for honesty with ourselves. The only way to fight today's world is that kind of honesty. And ask ourselves, and let us make a little check by each point in the bulletin, a plus or a minus. Let us get a pencil and mark the bulletin. One painful point at a time. And finish that one point before we go to the next. And see, as we examine ourselves, where do I fit in with this point? What do I do that is positive or negative with regard to this point? I'm telling you to do one of the most, if not the most, painful exercise that any one of us could possibly put up with. But we want happiness? Then we've got to go to the source of happiness. How does the world treat happiness today? If we wanted a real explosion that would rock this planet to its very foundation, would be for all mankind to simply stop gallivanting for 5 minutes and to stay at home and to look at mankind with honest eyes. But what do? We are constantly on the go, constantly moving, constantly going for this thing, constantly going for the other thing, never, ever stopping for 5 short minutes. And when we are at home, there is noise blaring all the time. We are deathly afraid of being alone with ourselves and Almighty God sitting next beside us. And so the world runs, and the faster it runs, the faster it has got to run, because it cannot stop to look. Is this not true? Look at all the fun things that have been invented for the sake of a starving world. a fearing world, a distracted world. We cannot settle down. And the thing that is important also, and we see this from place to place and from time to time and from person to person, we speak of ourselves as traditional Roman Catholics. Thank God. Thank God. And we put on all the raiment of Roman Catholics. Traditional Roman Catholics. Thank God. But do we wear the same raiment throughout the week? Or is it just our Sunday go to meeting duds? In some of our chapels, we have three, counting this one. It hasn't happened here, we haven't seen it here. But in some of our chapels, one or the other of our chapels, some of them, come to church magnificently dressed for the occasion. The priest is not off the altar before there's a dash for the ladies of the men's room. And we get into our jogging clothes. And we put on the uniform of the world and take off the uniform of God. Modesty. These are tough words, my beloved people, and I know it. I know this very well. And it hurts when we see these things. We ourselves, holy heaven, I wish to heaven that we, the monks and the nuns, were the example that sometimes we would like to be, but we're not. We know it. We're a poor example. We would like to be a much better, a much stronger example. But my beloved people, if we want to convert the world, it is not by debate or by argument or by forcing our children. The way to convert our children, the way to convert our friends, our neighbors, our whatever, whoever, is by what they see me do. Me is the important ingredient. Me. Me, me. Therefore, read today's bulletin with the sincerity and the seriousness and the commitment that it absolutely demands. And to the degree that we actually sit down behind a closed door, no computer, no television, no radio, nothing. Just me and my God. And to the degree that we are serious with that, to that degree will we achieve a measure of happiness. We have to understand what death is. We don't anymore. That's why we grieve so much when somebody dies. And we look upon death as an end to something. It isn't an end to anything. It is just that when we die, we step across a certain line. And we are just as much alive then as we are now. Remember a couple of weeks ago in our sermon, we spoke of the bird in the cage. Let us not forget that simile. Death is going across a line. And the way we live will determine what we find across that line. So, we must not be discouraged when we hear these words, but we must look upon them as words that at least give us a blueprint of what we are supposed to do. And the blueprint must be serious. It must be sincere. And it's not a matter of, well, he's good sermon today again, wonderful, wonderful. What did he say? Oh, I don't remember. We suffer. Yes, this is a suffering. And we are walking on the hottest sands ever walked upon by the foot of man. Never before has this happened. Never. So, my beloved people, let us at least turn to God as we look into ourselves to see what we can do to bring that spiritual happiness and relaxation that we so much deserve and so much desire. May God bless us. And this is so serious that I ask you all to kneel. And I will give you my special blessing for you and for us.